Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome the day before Thanksgiving. Chuck Bonnero, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up.
The Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show brought to you by...
We don't need you interfering, Julie. We're changing it up. People get bored with the same old line. So this is the Chuck and Julie True Straight Up Grassroots Show. We're changing a little bit. Make it a little more fun for people in the holiday season. And we're brought to you by...
Mountain West Wellness, advanced acupuncture and Chinese medicine. Well, you know, the Unity Party in Colorado, chaired by Brito Horn, Richard Holtoff, vice chair, Russ Andrews, secretary, strikes again and couldn't be more ununified. No.
This outreach... We're trying to unify the party.
Yeah.
We're going to reach you what I think is one of the better...
One of the better
emails of 2025.
But first, let's bring on... So what happened is Russ Andrews wrote, an absolutely disgusting, vile text exchange.
It's a little sharper, as he called it. It's a little sharper than usual.
Yeah, he was just...
You'd hate to think what is more sharp than usual.
This one's a little sharper than usual. It's the kind of text that would get you fired if you worked anywhere. And he sent it to Eric Grossman, who... Eric, go ahead and welcome and thank you for your time on this day before Thanksgiving. But you're...
It's a family show.
Yeah. And can you... You're unmuted, is that right? Yeah, it looks like you are. So you're an SEC member, one of the... It's a smaller group of... It's essentially the core...
24.
Colorado leadership team. You were elected by people in your area to be on the SEC. And this text exchange came after a meeting last week where they voted
last Wednesday
14-8 to not let the grassroots people have their special meeting about Brito Horn's leadership, which is even more important.
And passed three what are innocuous resolution.
But why do you then, Eric, like you said, thank you to the show, and why do you kind of explain sort of the background
context
for this, and then just your reaction to the text, and we can put them up on the screen and we'll read them for folks.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thanks for having me on. I'm shocked, but not shocked. We're living in an era where the hatred is over the top, and it's on both sides. The vile stuff that came out after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, and everybody's celebrating that. But the virus infects our side as well, as presented as testimony with a text thread that Russ and I had. For a little background for those keeping score here, Russ Andrews, the day after Jeff Hurd got his endorsement from Trump, that's a whole other topic. The next morning, Russ Andrews reached out to Dave Williams and I at 10:30 in the morning on a Sunday, basically asking, is there some way to have a truce over Cody's opt-out suit? Okay, well, let's have a conversation about it. But then in an executive committee meeting last Thursday, he lied. Russ lied. He was asked a pointed question by myself. I'm an executive board member. I'm the chair of Mineral County. I've been involved in the state party since 2012, since Ryan Call was chair, and I saw the ballot stuffing 20 feet in front of me. That's my history. I asked him a pointed question. I said, why did you change the petition paperwork, approved form, while you knew there was an ongoing petition, which is Ray Garcia's petition, which was a vote of no confidence, so on and so forth? And his answer to me in an executive meeting was, well, I didn't know there was a petition going out there. Well, of course, I emailed some of the people who, or texted some of the people who were a part of our team. And I said, can you forward me that email real quick from late September? And so I got a chance to go back on a few minutes after he had just told us he didn't know there was a petition being circulated. And I said, so here's your email from September 30th, where you clearly stated, I understand there's a petition going around. You have to use this one instead. At which point I said, why did you just lie to the group a few minutes ago?
Right.
And of
And for
course, he didn't
context,
really appreciate that. And he said, well, I had to do it because we couldn't trust you guys to put together a valid petition. This is our state party, everybody.
it's like in, given the reason that this actually really matters is because that there was a petition that had been up that had been used before, widely accepted, and then he changed the petition halfway through the petition gathering process to say, oh, your petition doesn't count anymore. So it was just game playing on their part to begin with. It wasn't like,
Not installing apps in your license, but
that's a whole other thing.
well, no, it's all part of the same thing.
Right.
He changed it to these draconian and often illegal requirements just to make sure that petitions couldn't be drawn up.
So that was the context. And now I'm going to bring up, and Doug,
They're
if you.
very now this is a warning to
Oh.
all that have kids, gentle dogs, cats of any kind, that this is not PC. This includes, what do they say? Lewd language.
Okay, so Doug, if we could please bring up then this text exchange. And then Eric, I guess I'll read it. I don't want to put you on the spot to have to swear.
No, no, no. He can read his part. You be it, or I'll be it. Well, can I read
No,
it?
I'll do it.
Oh, no, I'll read it. I can
Okay,
read
so
it.
Eric, why don't you say what did you text? And then I'll reply with what Russ said.
Well, so let me preface it to say what you
Sure.
don't see in this screenshot is what's above this. And what's above this was a follow-up to Russ Andrews's call to myself and Dave asking about a truce. So that part is not here, and he never responded to that. When he asked Dave and I about a truce, I said, yeah, maybe there's a way forward, but the reality is you need to contact Cody DeBlanc because it's his case. So above that, I basically said, hey, why don't you reach out to Cody LeBlanc, which Russ Andrews never did. So then after the executive meeting was over, I said, truce, question mark, wanting a path forward, question mark, just a few weeks ago, question mark. And I call him, you're a liar. And
And
then
then
the
he
response.
says, you don't apologize for calling me a liar, then you had better bring a security team to our next meeting, you greasy, slimy fuck. Now let me read that again. This is from the secretary of the Colorado Republican Party to
Businessman.
a fellow committee member, a fellow member of the leadership team, saying, clearly threatening him and then calling him disgusting names. You don't apologize for calling me a liar, then you had better bring a security team to our next meeting, you greasy, slimy fuck. I mean, okay, then you go ahead and then read how you, I mean, you must have been shocked to see that. Well,
Shocked, but not
not shocked.
shocked. And
Yeah.
I'll get to that in a minute. But I responded. I said, amazing, Russ. You called Dave and I about an opt-out truce, and thanks for showing us all who you really are. I didn't call you a liar. Tonight's audio proves it. All of you should resign. And that's the entire leadership team.
Exactly. And then this could also be considered as threatening, be seeing you soon. I
Yeah.
mean, that's a clear threat too.
He
When would you
doubled
have,
down. He
when would
doubled
you have
down.
occasion to see Russ Andrews, right?
And so then I sounded and I responded back to close it out. I said, sounds threatening. You called me, remember, 10:30 on a Saturday, and that's a typo. That was spell check. It was actually 10:30 on a Sunday. And I said, you cracked open the political door, and now we'll publicly push it open. Thanks. And
Okay.
that's kind of what this interview is about, is and I screenshotted this and I sent it out. I'm not online. I don't do the social media thing because I recognized very early on that it was not going to be good for the sanity of most human beings, and so I've avoided it. So I just screenshotted that and sent it out, and obviously got out there to the point that Russ sent an apology email, but not to me directly. He used it as political fodder to basically title it, I apologize to the all SEC members for bad behavior on what should have been a private conversation. The bottom line is this:
A
we
private
have a
threat. Yeah,
hatred in society.
this is just your standard private threat, and that makes it okay. You
Right.
can threaten people as long as you do it, privately.
Well, and he didn't apologize to me, also, Chuck. I mean, he didn't send a text back saying, you know what, Eric, that was really terrible of me. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. No, he just sent out a mass email thread to try to cover his
You have
rear
that
end
problem?
politically, CYA style. And so it's not genuine, nor was the trying to come to a truce genuine. The bottom line is we have a bunch of people who who had anti-Trump syndrome since 2016. And I know this because I've been a chair since 2012 and I went to the dinners where they all hated Trump. They
Right.
transferred that scenario to Dave and they all hate Dave. And it's turned into a psychosis where we're trying to have a rational conversation with a leadership team who's not behaving in a rational way. And if this text thread doesn't show it, I don't know what's going to. I pray for
Well,
them
we
all
don't
to
have
see
it
the
in front of
light,
us,
but you
so
can't negotiate with irrational people. It's not possible.
we don't have it in front of us, and I should have brought it down, but his email says, I use language a little sharper than I normally do. A little sharper than you normally
You
do?
normally
I hate to see what you're like when you're more than a little sharper. What else do you threaten to do?
Well, Anna Ferguson reminded us in an email or a text thread earlier today, which I had forgotten about, when he ran for CD3 in that convoluted ballot on the last cycle where Jeff Hurd won and there was too many people on the ballot, he ran. And there was a news article that came out where some of his neighbors in his own neighborhood tried to get a temporary restraining order against him for the threats he made to his neighbors in his own neighborhood. So this is a
Really?
pattern of behavior with these people. They hate the enemy so much that they have to change a petition in the middle of the process, which is also illegal if somebody wanted to make a lawsuit about that. Basically, saying they don't trust us to put together a right petition. They don't trust us because they hate us so much. They literally hate us. And this text thread shows it, and it's something that we just need to shine light as disinfectant on of who these people really are. They're not capable of leading the party. The party's bankrupt. For all the hey, they said Dave couldn't do any fundraising. Poor Britta can't do any fundraising. And for these people to be a vice chair and a secretary to not jump up on your show and say, hey, our chair is out of control, they're part of the problem because they don't have the guts to do it themselves. And that says a lot about our party. Our founding fathers are rolling over in their grave that one of the 50 state parties is such a dysfunctional mess. It's an atrocity.
Well, just think back. So the establishment decided to run an all-star team because they really wanted it. So you had as Secretary Russ Andrews, he just found out who he's like and what
How
his
professional
mo
his behavior is.
and then you had Phelan, who were for vice chair. He resigned. He just said, nobody's talking to me, I quit. He doesn't reach out and saying, hey, help me reform the pro. No, he just quits. Then he writes another one later, says, now elect me chairman. I quit on you before, but he quit. Then the treasurer, who's appointed, quit. And so that's why Russ Andrews is the secretary slash treasurer. And then you have Britta Horn, who can't even raise enough money to give her gas
You
money.
have to take out a loan and
Not a loan, Julie.
the revolving
It's a
line of credit.
revolving line of credit, as if that's not a loan. I
Those are
mean,
semantics.
this, and we, let's not forget some of the sub people like Nancy Pelosi,
Pelosi, the
who at
parliamentarian.
2:34 in the morning is writing out drunken texts about the county chair. And I'm gonna have to get a copy of that text, but it's another obscene, pathetic rant. That's the team. It's not like a bad apple. This is a whole rotten barrel of establishment. I don't know what you call them. I mean, they're so unfit for anything.
Well, and the only logical conclusion that any sane person could come to is that they're trying to sink the ship.
Yes.
This homogenous state government, this uniparty one size fits all homogeny is the plan. It's basically to make a party that is not functional to the point that the RNC, who is trying to pick up the pieces. I mean, you saw the Breitbart article probably a few days ago where the Bushes are trying to take over. The intel we had in January when those of us who were in DC, the cocktail conversation at the bars the day after the inauguration was that they're going to wait Trump out. He's going to be lame duck at the end of the next cycle. And the uniparty establishment's going to come back in and retake over the party. And Colorado's the front lines of that. If people don't see that, again, this text is a glaring example of that. If we don't stand up now, there's not going to be a party worth saving.
They don't
No,
want
you're exactly.
a party. It's clear if
No.
you read John Caldera or any of them who were part of the uniparty
Well,
cabal,
you've got
is
Jimmy Sengenberger saying Tina Peters needs to stay in jail.
that
Every other Republican is saying she's done her time. Well,
Well,
then.
wait, let me finish. And God, what was my train of thought? What Phil and all of us want is a jungle primary, California style, where you don't need parties. You just the rich petition on, and then you have election, which you can designate a party or not. It doesn't make any difference. You have no party backing. So there's no need to have a party. There's no nominating process.
Right.
It's not anything.
Well, and just the billionaires
if there are 50 names of people you've never heard of and you're supposed to pick one, what do you do? Well, you do whatever, you know, whoever sent you the most emails and everything else. You don't go, well, I'll pick Jimmy Sangerberger. No, you're going to have to pick out whoever Phil wants you to pick out. And then you don't need a party at all. There's no party left. And who will get elected? Well, who gets elected in California?
Democrats.
So that's they don't care.
No.
No, well, they honestly don't care. They want to have the jungle primary. And John Calder has even written articles urging a jungle primary.
Well, and Eric, and your point is well taken, that we have to stand up. Now, I mean, sometimes people say, okay, I'll quit. You know, you're being divisive. You're talking about Britta Horn. It's like, look at that email. It's, you better get a security team before we meet again, you greasy, sliming F word, right? Now, if that's not divisive, I don't know what is
no,
divisive.
No, I think what that is reaching out for unity.
Yeah, reach out.
And, it's a unity call.
But you're right, though. We have to stand up, because if we don't, I think you're absolutely right. And we're going to have Mark Hamden on to talk a little bit about this, too. There isn't going to be a party left. Certainly. And I think that's, you know, you look at British, incompetent or is it by design, you know? And I think
it doesn't matter.
How do I say it? We can't just say, oh, well, I guess we better be quiet and unify.
Yeah.
Well, think of it this way. They hated Dave Williams so much that they installed this incompetent buffoon. And they say, oh, that's terrible rhetoric. No, I mean, it's observable reality that this person cannot run a meeting.
No.
Her optics are terrible. And she's not even listening to her own leadership team on the optics of how terrible she looks in these processes, to the point that they're behaving the exact same way. I mean, this whole, as Phelan said, going out the door, it is such a mess that there's no keeping any of them. They all should go at this point.
Right.
One made the argument before the executive meeting, you know, well, let's just try to get rid of Britta and keep everybody else. Well, after this text thread, and after the fact that none of them have come on your show to rail against what a terrible leader Britta is, they're all complicit in the situation that they found themselves in and ran for, and they should sink with the ship as well, because that's what they're doing. They're tanking it.
I agree. And, you know, and because, I mean, we've heard things, too, about, you know, the grassroots have reached out. And certain people in sort of Britta Horn's inner circle have you like the when you said, you know, Russ talked to you guys, right? There are some people who kind of sort of reach out and are willing to talk. And the grassroots are like, we'll talk. Tell us when, where, we'll talk. And then Britta says no. Right. And I mean, and apparently he doesn't listen to anyone. But like you say, when you've got the secretary, that's a secretary. If you did that in a workplace, you'd be fired for threatening the person and calling them names. And somehow or another, because you're grassroots, and there's no apology to you, you're just supposed to put up with it. And when you bring it up, now you and we are being divisive. It's an outrage. And you're right. They all need to go.
Well, it's worse than that, in the sense that these people are potentially clinically insane. And I don't say that with any joy, and I'm not saying to try to brag. We're trying to have the grassroots is trying to have a rational conversation with an irrational set of circumstances. For those that didn't watch the big news item this past week, it was Jonathan Albert, I think his name is. He's the psychotherapist there in New York who had a thing in the Washington Post or Washington, whatever it was, an op-ed talking about, in his own clinical practice, he is seeing people come in who have so much hatred on the political spectrum, in this case for Trump, that 5 minutes into his sessions, they're venting about Trump, not as a political ideology, but because it's become such a psychological trigger for them that they can't even see straight. And it goes both ways. I was talking to my sheriff about it today, because I'm going to make a report over what Russ did, especially in this environment where we all cheer that somebody gets hurt. Okay, I'm going to make a police report about it. So I talked to my sheriff today, but he informed me of a local situation, even here in Mineral County, where there was a conservative type who literally lost his marbles over a situation. It was the day that Charlie Kirk got assassinated, and he went off on somebody in a way that was inappropriate against a liberal. And so the bottom line is this virus of hatred is in our society and culture. And at this Thanksgiving, I ask all of you to pray for some sanity, pray for some light to the madness. But that said, that's where the prayers stop. The establishment has declared war on the grassroots, and if you want a war, you got one. It's time that if we don't rise up and take this party back, there's not going to be a party left.
No, and you make a really good point. I mean, just today, the breaking news is two West Virginia National Guardsmen shot. I think, you know, there's conflicting reports of they died or they in critical condition, but shot in Washington, D.C., 800 yards from the White House, right? And this is after you had six Democrats, you know, calling for sedition. You get Democrats cheering and you have Republicans on one hand saying, oh, the Democrats are being violent. And then you have the secretary of the Colorado Republican Party physically threatening you, telling you better bring a security team the next time he sees you, and then emphasizes that saying, see you soon. It's like you said, you can't assume anymore in this day and age that it's just rhetoric. And there are a lot of people who think it shouldn't be rhetoric. And Russ Andrews clearly should have known better. And he does know
better.
He needs
some help.
And the fact that he did it, even though he does know Matt better, kind of says what their mind frame is.
To do it in writing?
Right.
I mean.
Right. That's the arrogance of the insanity, is right. That they think they're morally justified in wanting to dispatch us all. And that's the craziness of this whole thing. There's no trying to talk to these people. If Russ was enough of a cognitive soul at this point in his life, God bless him, he would have at least sent me a text back before he apologized to the entire SEC membership saying, Eric, you know what? That was out of line. I am so sorry. He didn't do that. He politically tried to CYA himself and sent out an email to the entire body, which is kind of why I'm here. I mean, that was the last straw. I was going to let it go. But after he sent an email out as a haphazard apology, no. I pray for him. I pray for his wife. I pray for all these people to have light shine upon them to those that can be swayed. But the bottom line is these people are insane and they need to be run out of power because they're running the ship into the ground. Period.
That's right. And they don't care. And you're right.
And they don't care.
It's sort of like if you're, you know, you're on the Titanic and the captain is steering it to the iceberg. And he's like, well, I'm trying to hit the iceberg. Right. And the rest of us are supposed to just stand there and bow like, oh, well, I guess we'll go down. It's like, no, you know, yeah. You have to take it back. Well, Eric, listen, I mean, it's the day before Thanksgiving. I don't want to take you too long. I mean, where does this go from here? I know.
Who's going to be on your security detail?
Yeah.
It's sort of ironic when you think about it. I ran the events for the party. There was threats against Steve Bannon when we had the Steve Bannon event.
Oh, yeah.
We got to the point where we were on the Reddit threads watching that. And
there's probably Russ Andrews.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I think we might have been talking over each other.
Yeah, go ahead and say what you were saying.
It's ironic about the security detail because I ran the events for the party on the last go round. And we have legitimate threats against the party. Keep in mind, a year ago, or 2 years ago, really, you know, the threats got amplified when all the Israeli stuff started on October 7th. We spent our security team that I contracted with and hired through the state party to run co-run the events with me. I mean, we would go to the Reddit threads and see the threats. There was even a threat against Trump's life at one point. We sent it off to the FBI and the Secret Service in Denver. Crickets.
The thing is, you don't.
It's a crazy time.
But you don't expect it to come from your own state party leadership. That's
that's where the shocked, not shocked. I'm shocked, but I'm not. I don't say this as hyperbole and I don't say it through any happiness. I mean, this has become a mental illness with normally sane people. I've been doing events long enough in my career, a long time. I've been in the entertainment world a long time. I have actually been in two riots in my career, not by choice. And I got to see the energy shift.
Yes.
That happens to normal people who would normally be very sane people who get sucked into an energy thing where they have blinders on and they don't even know what they're doing. And we've got a leadership team that has been sucked into the hatred of hating us. They still hate Trump and they want to maintain power after Trump is gone. It's painfully obvious now what's going on. And we have to rise up and stop this from getting any worse and stop the bleeding. Or again, there's not going to be anything worth saving. And we're going to be relegated to where do we go from here? To go back to your original question. I don't know. I think we might be forced to consider looking at an independent run, at least in the next cycle. If we have a non-functioning state party, how are we going to get candidates on the ballot? What's to say Britta can't continue her tyrant behavior and say, oh, I know you got 30% of the vote in the assembly. We're not putting you on the ballot. So then we sue her like we sued her to opt out, even though the vote was for opt out. She's not going to give it to the Secretary of State. Who's to say she's not going to let a candidate that's not a Rhino candidate get on the ballot? We have to start looking at these issues that this is the level of insanity here that we have a non-functional state party. How crazy is that?
And you're assuming there's even going to be assembly from everything we're hearing. She has no plans and no money to hold an assembly. So,
all right, Eric. I can tell you as somebody who'll plan it, like it's not an easy thing to do. Shauna Bamberger, I can't remember if that's still her name or her maiden name or her married name, but she ran all those events for a long time. We had to basically start from scratch and do the event 2 years ago, and it was not easy. We saved a ton of money going to Pueblo, half the cost it was at the World Arena, but it was not an easy thing to do. And we were still having all-night sessions, getting the credentials ready, three or four, you know, before everything got mailed out. Like, it's not an easy event to plan. And according to some intelligence we got, what, a few days ago, they, you know, or 19 days ago, 20 days ago, they still hadn't even started planning it yet.
Right.
Well, just think of your job you did, but instead of having limited funds, which you had, you had no funds.
Right.
You had no funds.
Right.
Try running an event if you have no funds, which is what they
have. It's an $80,000 production on the cheap. It was about a $200,000 production in past administrations. We cut that in half, but it's still, it's not cheap.
No, all right. Hey, Eric, listen, thank you. I'm sorry you had to go through that, but thank you for standing up and speaking. And thank you for all the work that you do. We appreciate it.
You do a great
job. Group effort. And just again, I got to remind everybody who's paying attention, even if you are not able to step up and help us, you know, there's a lot of lawfare going on. Remember that Cody and I set up a lawfare account and we could still use help. We've only raised about $5,000 since April on a $25,000 legal bill. Cody and I have had to come up with that on our own. So if you can't participate in the counter coup, which is kind of what we are now, then please contribute to colodoge.com, colodoge.com. There's a link to Give, Send, Go. I mean, we're in this fight, but we need some reinforcements. Anything is appreciated, and God bless, and pray for some sanity. We need it.
All right. Thank you. Eric Grossman. Eric Grossman fighting the fight there, and he's right. We can't. Well, now let me bring in, because the Russ Andrews insanity continues. So Mark Hamden, if you want to come on, he's does a Honey Badger, Parker Conservatives, and he had out. So, you know, we were talking about this petition, and Russ Andrews has come up with a new thing where now he put out an email this morning. Everyone has to send their driver's license into him.
To the psychologically unstable, mentally unfit human being.
With a Gmail account, right?
Along with your child's whereabouts.
It's a Gmail account, right? And then he says, and you can redact somehow your address, et cetera, et cetera. And Mark, I could just see your head exploding as a businessman as you read this, and you fired off a great email. So let me just have you, what the underlying problems with Russ Andrews' new idea that we all have to email him our driver's license, copy of our driver's license?
Yeah, it just goes to show the ineptness here, as you were just talking about with Eric. You know, anybody can email their driver's license anywhere, but if you're asking for it, so if you're an entity that is asking for this information, there are certain criteria you must, per Colorado state law, that you must have in place to do this. And I'm reading this and I'm like, oh, yeah, I can't imagine he's got any of this, you know, because it has to go through a secure server. So like if you're doing Social Security or anything like that, you log on. There's a lot of protocols that are behind the scenes, but you're basically entering a very secure site where you can put in that information. Email is not a secure site. It's sort of kind of like right before we had the reorg meeting is Zoom. A secure site. Remember that conversation we had? And the FTP protocols are not secure. It can be invaded. So in just sending this stuff, you just leave yourself open. And Colorado has tried to put laws in place, and so has the federal government. But people still do it. But to go out and tell people to do it, that's insane.
Yeah.
Well, it really is. It's like, God, did you think about this at all before you put this together? And the answer is probably no.
You think he sends out messages without really
you know, listen to Derek, I'm going to go find my old Russ messages because I got a couple doozies out. I got to find out if there were texts or emails, but I got a couple doozies out there that he sent me that he was pretty whipped up when he sent them to me. And I was just kind of laughing the whole time. So, you know, it's just, it's, I'm just really frustrated because it doesn't have to be like this. And when you see it, it's just like, could you guys just do anything worse to yourselves?
Yes. Well, and as you said, so you're the secretary. Before, number one, there's absolutely, we've never had to do this before, so there's no need for this. Number one, they're just doing it
Right.
to try to make it onerous. But then everyone started complaining, saying, "Well, it's not fair. We don't want to have our personal information out." So then he puts out this ridiculous thing. Well, you can redact it. I don't know what, like put duct tape over it or something like that. I mean, and then how do you verify it? I mean, the point with the driver's license. I mean, the people who ask for that, there's a barcode on the back of it, right? So then they have the ability to scan the barcode and verify your address. Anyone can make up a fake ID. Plus, it's not like SCC members, it's not like we have this history of being infiltrated by fake Republicans or something like that. But like
Right.
you said, as a secretary, before you put that out, he should know that there are laws that govern asking people to send information to them. You have to have secure sites. You have to have, I mean, it just goes, and what's he going to do with it, right? It just all goes to his Gmail account. No,
You know,
he's going to
the other petitions work for years, right?
Right.
Why all of a sudden you have, and if you're worried about you have fake people names on it, you know, you get a half a dozen people in the ELT, you give them 10 or 20 names each and go spot check these people.
Right. Well, and not only that, but I mean, we're talking about the Republican Party Central Committee. Members are elected within their counties. Not everybody knows everybody, but people know each other. I bet in Douglas County, if somebody submitted a fake Mark Hampton ID, someone would go, "Well, that's not Mark Hampton." Do you know
Yeah.
what I mean? It's not like I said, it's not like we have these massive security issue that Russ Andrews needs hundreds of our driver's licenses.
There's some things that just never leave you. I mean, we all have them. I have nice school shooting. Anil has whores and ass wipes. A lot of people have lots of things. But you, slimy, greasy F. I mean, that's going to stay with him the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah.
His
Yeah. I
life.
mean, to your point, Julie, earlier, if one of my employees would have sent an email like that or a text and then one of my other ones, I would have sat them down and said, you're immediately terminated. It
Well, and you know what?
doesn't matter what context you give me at this point. This is unacceptable behavior. You know it's unacceptable behavior because you're a professional. And I have to terminate your, we're going to sever your agreement right now and you're gone.
Well, and I know from just having done employment stuff in my family as businesses and stuff like that, even if you really like the person, and even if you know they probably didn't mean it, you have now some liability
Oh,
for
yeah,
over the whole thing too. So even if
definitely.
you don't want to, you can't have somebody in your employ who's telling somebody else that they better have a security team with them the next time they come through the door. It's like,
Well, are you going to sit down? Is anybody going to sit down with Russ Andrews anymore? You'd be insane, dude. Let's sit down, and then he may just lose his mind. It's like going to the state insane asylum. Hey, I think I'll go see the crazies. No. People aren't going to sit down with them. They're not going to deal with them, but it doesn't matter because he's a mere secretary treasurer of the party. So, have some fun.
Yeah, it's just so bad that we see this ongoingly because, what Eric said is our party is getting to a place, and I think we're on the cusp, to be quite honest, you two, of the point of no return. Because if in fact, which everything points to this direction, is that we cannot hold an assembly, I think that is the end of the party at the end of the day.
Yes.
I mean, it just is. And if the RNC or whoever could be our knight in shining armor to come and say, you're out of here, which I don't see that happening.
They don't have the authority.
Apparently, they
Yeah.
have authority
Yeah.
to. They do not report to the RNC. We're our own separate corporation. It has nothing. We are not a subsidiary of the RNC or anything. We send delegates to them, but we are not in any sense a sub corporation association. They cannot just come in and say, Yeah, you guys, we're not like a franchisee or something.
Right.
As Eric Grossman said, the RNC is part of the problem.
Right.
I mean, you've seen that in other states. Well, yeah, and I think maybe Britta and those guys think that somehow or another the RMC is going to bail them out financially. I just don't see, in my experience in politics, if you're like a struggling candidate, the congressional campaign committee people don't bail you out. They abandon you, right? They say you
Right.
don't have any fundraising ability, that, that's money, down an empty hole there. So we're not going to do it. And I think on a serious note, I mean, we've been serious, but you're right. This is about a lot more than just the idiocy and the disgusting behavior by, some of the party leadership people. It's like the party itself is at stake. And I think in your letter, you said, I think you agree with Eric, right? They need to be removed. We need to figure out a way to remove these people while there is still time to plan an assembly and hold an assembly and still have a party in 2026.
Well, as I've been calling for them to just voluntarily step down,
En masse resign.
just resign, save what face you have left, is saying, you know what, I'm resigning at this point. But they're not doing it, and that's why I also called upon the elected officials. As you know, during a reorg, they all whipped votes for
Yeah.
Britta and crew.
They're
They
elected
really did.
officials
They,
for
yeah,
the
the
ones who did it.
electeds. And so, hey, now's time for these guys to step up. We
Right.
need them to step up and call her directly, because you all know they have her phone number, and say, you need to resign. Don't let them remove you. Just resign so we can fix this thing and move it forward. Because if not, all of these elected officials are going to lose their state party.
Right. Well, and Eric is saying, arguably the RNC is cheering this on so the rhinos can pick up the pieces. They've got intel that says that. And then he says, yeah, you're right. It's time to resign. Charlene says Trump is rebranding MAGA to Trumpublican, controlled by rhino neocons, more gaslighting. Well, that's a whole separate show. But I think, yeah, and the big fight we have is that we're all right, that I think this is part of the plan. And so if we wait, and just say, well, hopefully it'll all be okay. It's not gonna, no one is coming to save us, I guess,
No.
right? That's not gonna all be okay.
And I mean, the point that he brought up, that is this planned? I mean, I've had several conversations with a couple of people saying, you kind of can, if you're a true conspiracy theory person and you kind of look at all the facts here, your conspiracy starts looking like facts too. And because is this their way to totally ruin the party and get to jungle primaries?
And you
Because they're going to drive in and say, no, we have the answer. It's the jungle primary. So let's
Barbara
not worry about
Turnbull.
this over here. Don't
Yeah.
worry about this.
Right.
We have the answer.
We have the answer. Well, yeah, and I think again, back to the elected officials, who do they think? I mean, if there's a jungle primary, I guess maybe they've got Americans for, prosperity. They got Americans for Prosperity money, things like that.
Not for that.
But yeah, I mean, if there isn't a party, and I look at these county chairs and people like that, and I'm like, if there's not a state Republican party, or if there is, it's just so useless. If there's not a caucus and assembly, you have no role. You have nothing. There's no point in, you know what I mean? If you want to, the whole thing collapses then. And these
Right.
people who are in place, you got to wonder, are they part of it, or are they just so ignorant that they don't see that their whole position and their whole, everything they're trying to accomplish, even if we disagree, but that's on the line too.
Yeah, there we have so much on the line and such little time to de really deal with this. And the clock's ticking every day. And then we see these stupid emails come out from like from Russ and some of the other stuff from Britta over the last week. I didn't even comment on her email. It was just like, oh, this is just so bad, so ridiculous. It's almost, what can we say at this point?
Well, it is when you've got, I mean, she's like, no, we didn't take out a loan. We took out a revolving line of credit. Okay, well,
That's
whoa.
that. It same thing. You
Right.
may it's the same. It's same instrument with a different name at the end of the day.
Right.
I've used revolvers too. And all it is you pay interest when you're taking the money out. You don't pay interest, but you have a minimum that you have to meet. Wonder what her minimum is, because they don't do it for out of the grace of being a bank. They're here to make money if she's using the bank. And there's minimums that come along with having a revolver. So.
Right. And yeah, and it has to be paid at a higher interest rate. Well, and I go back to, I remember my dad used to say to me when I first went to college and he had credit cards, he's like, "Don't use it." He said, "If you can't pay for it today, what makes you think you're going to be able to pay for it
Before
tomorrow?" Which is,
tomorrow. That's
yeah.
exactly right. Wise man.
Hey, well, listen, Mark, we'll let you go too, because I think we may wrap
Okay.
things up a bit early here on things. Thank you for all the work that you do.
Good job, Mark.
Good job,
Yeah.
and keep it. Oh, let me ask you got, I always like to give you the opportunity. You guys have a great Christmas party coming up.
Yeah. Hey, Honey Badger's coming out a day early because I got a Thanksgiving note on it for everybody. So I'm going to publish it out at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. So be looking for that. There's some great stuff in there. But yes, on December 3rd at Parker Conservatives, we have our Christmas celebration, and we're doing a big toy drive and coat and glove drive for the kids, kids here in Parker. So if you're able to get on Parker Conservatives' website, there's been some posters build out there. So we'd love to see you, Chuck and Julie, if you guys can make it. We got a great Tom Trancato's coming to speak, so he's always really
Great.
great and draws a big crowd.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
we have a great pastor coming in to give a good Christmas message as well.
Well, good. That
All right,
sounds
that's wonderful.
tremendous.
Yeah, sounds tremendous, Mark. Hey, thank you for
Thank
your
you,
time.
Mark. Merry holidays. Happy
Okay.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day, everybody.
All
And then just real quick on the comments, this is from Charlene. Dad, Julie was there a year ago with the cabal. Oh, we were there. You're right. We were there a year ago with the cabal's plan. What we're seeing now is a predetermined outcome of the, how do you say that? Hegelian didactic.
Okay.
I know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
And then Jacob, the DNC National had to borrow money to keep going for 2025. Yeah, but the DNC at least has a history of being able to raise money. Britta Horn does not. And then, yay, Mark, everyone says. And Eric Grossman says, yay, great job, Mark. Keep on the pressure. And we
That's what. Can I just interrupt? Because you just said they have a way of raising money. I was about to type out that Nancy Pelosi, their number one fundraiser for the DNC, is retiring.
Oh.
Somebody's got to take her place, and she's taken the money that she's raised. She's going to take it into retirement with her. She's not going to
Yeah.
give it back to
Well,
the
everybody's
DNC.
gonna lose their stock tips too.
Yeah.
She would hand out those stock tips
And
as
what happened? And what happened to Bankman-Fried? No more Bankman-Fried. That was 50 million a year, hundred
Yeah.
million a year.
You'll be getting out soon.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
Just one thing. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And the
yeah,
last thing I
thank
wanted to
you.
say was Stefanik. Stefanik was a CIA officer in Iraq during the Bush years, and she was very pro waterboarding. So if anybody knows anything about illegal orders, it's her.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, thank you, Jacob. Hey, and thank you to everybody. That'll wrap it up for us. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Thank you to everybody on Zoom, to Mark and Eric and the great guys at BBS. And we will see you all on Monday.
All right, take care, baby.
Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagen, and I'm working at
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.